Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
All right, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host, Afrida Love, and today we have a very special guest, and if our guest cannot make it today, we will reschedule, and I have something to tell you, so please stay tuned. And we also need to pray at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for giving us grace and mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you for just the faith that abounds within us, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for being who you are. Lord, we're always happy and excited to edify and magnify and uplift your holy and righteous name so that men, women, boys, and girls can come asking, what shall we do to be saved, Lord? We're asking you, would you bless this broadcast to continue to be uplifting to others and for the words to go out of our mouth and to be crowned from you, Lord. We're asking you, would you continue to help us to preserve the word and keep it close to our heart, Heavenly Father, where we may utilize it as we go out into this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. And today's scripture is actually from Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2, and it reads, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I have read to you Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2. And as I text our guest here, and if she can't make it today, then we're going to reschedule. I would like to talk to you about four different elements that the Lord gave me as I was meditating and preparing for this interview. And sometimes things happen and we have to reschedule and we have to fix our schedules. But God always has a word for the children of God that will help to uplift and help to edify us. So therefore, as we wait on our guest or as we carry on, we are praying for your strength, we're praying for courage, and we're praying for understanding. There were four different elements that the Lord gave me as I was preparing for this interview that I would like to share with you today. And the first element that God shared was walking in faith. And first of all, we all know that faith is, God is only requiring that we have faith of a mustard seed. And if you have ever studied science or if you've seen a mustard seed, you know that it's very small. And what God is saying today is there are three different things that he wants us to know about faith. First of all, faith without works is dead. Okay, and I'm taking notes as we're speaking right now because this is really helping my spirit. Faith without works is dead, meaning that you cannot expect something to happen if you're not moving, if there is no action, if you're not praying unto God, if you're not speaking to God, if you're not talking to God, if you don't have a relationship with God, your work is dead. Faith without work is dead. Secondly, what you need to understand, or what we need to understand about faith is eternal, meaning that you can't have a wavering faith. Thank you, Lord. You can't have a wavering faith, meaning today you have faith in God because everything went fine, but when the storm of life starts hitting or something minute comes towards you, then you begin to doubt God. So God is saying consistent faith. Amen. Consistent faith. And I'm writing this down. We need to have consistent faith in God. And last but not least, God is talking about a faith that is within him, a faith that is within him. And I will get that word that the Lord revealed in a few minutes as I'm speaking. A lot of us put a lot of faith in things. We put our faith in cars, and as we remember a couple of months ago, cars were going over a bridge, amen, and the bridge collapsed. We put our faith in cars. We put our faith in people. People change daily. Their attitudes change. Their situations change. Their lives change. We put our faith in the weather. For instance, this morning, I went out and I had on my jacket, amen, but didn't bring my umbrella, okay? So we put a lot of our faith in things that God created, but not in him. So God wants us to have a faith, a spiritual faith. That's the word, a spiritual faith in him. Spiritual faith means that you have a relationship with him so much that you trust him and you know that he's going to bring you through. As I was sitting here just now speaking to you, what was revealed to me was that if you don't have a relationship with a person, if you don't have that understanding with a person, it's kind of hard for you to trust them. It's kind of hard for you to depend on them when you need something. So God is saying that, first of all, we should, in having a spiritual faith, we should first of all have some type of relationship with him. And that's not just saying praying to God. That's actually asking God for what we need. If we need wisdom in the word, ask God for the wisdom. If we need understanding, ask God for the understanding. If we need to know which way to go and how our feet should be, which position our feet should be pointed, ask God for what's the direction you want me to go. God is also present and also standing by in order to help us in days and times like this. So I want to reiterate those three concepts that the Lord gave. And the big umbrella, the big picture is walking in faith. And first of all, faith without works is dead. You need to know that there has to be action. We talk about that all the time. A verb is action, amen. If you're sitting here, like I'm sitting here right now, okay, I'm still doing something. I'm breathing. I'm talking. So God said, okay, you're on earth, all right, do something, which means walk in his purpose. Do something for God. All right, whether it's giving, whether it's praying for someone, do something for God. That consistent faith, we don't need to have wavering faith. I'm just going back over what we spoke about because I see people joining the line. If you just came in, we're talking about walking in faith. Consistent faith, being consistent in your faith. Every day you should have the faith of a mustard seed. And actually our faith should be a little bit bigger than that because God woke us up. That's a lot of faith. You know, God woke us up this morning and started us on our way. And then that spiritual faith has more to do with the relationship that we have with God. You know, the relationship we have with God. That's the spiritual faith. Then, as I was sitting here, another component is walking in love. There are certain ways that we are supposed to walk. Even when you exercise, you're not supposed to bend your back, you know. You're supposed to walk upright, moving your arms, moving your feet as fast as you can go. That's called speed walking. Or you can walk as slow as you want to. But you have to understand that, you know, your blood, the pumping of your blood, and you have to understand metabolism and make sure that you're working up to your level. But walking in love, when you walk in love, the first thing you need to understand is forgiveness. Forgiveness is very important because a lot of times people leave this earth with people mad at them, or people leave this world with being angry at someone. Forgiveness is very important. Even if you have a little disagreement with your child, or disagreement with your spouse, or disagreement with anyone, you know, forgiveness is very important. God asked that we do not let the sun go down, amen, without forgiving someone. And that's part of walking in love. The next thing is, first of all, we should love thy neighbor as thyself. That means however you would love yourself, whatever you would do to yourself, you do to your neighbor. I read a lot of articles, and I look at a lot of people, and I look at myself as well. And I wonder, you know, would you really treat yourself like you treat your sister or brother? And I'm talking about a sister or brother as in the person, your neighbor, or your sister and brother, your real sister and brother. Would you really treat yourself like that? And each day I try to evaluate myself and say, would I treat myself like I'm treating my neighbor next door? Would I treat myself like I'm treating this person over here, this person. And so God is asking us, telling us that we need to evaluate our love. We need to evaluate ourselves and how we are interacting and treating each other, okay? So walking in love. And then the third thing that God showed is, how can you love him when you've never seen him before, but you hate your brother or your sister who you see every day? That's scripture, y'all. So genuine love is loving people for who they are, seeing them where they are, okay, not judging them. And the question that God is asking us, and I say us, I'm included too. Nobody's exempt from this question. How can you say that you love God and you have aught against your brother or sister? How is that possible? Because God is the Father. So that means that if God is the Father, our spiritual Father now, that means that we have some tendencies and we have some God in us. So there is an aspect about God that you don't like. Maybe you don't like somebody's personality. Well, that's still your sister and brother in Christ. Model how we're supposed to treat people. Model how whatever deficiencies someone has. So God is saying walking in love. Walking in love is forgiveness. Walking in love is loving other people. And walking in love is loving who you see and who you don't see. We profess, we say that we love God, but we don't love his children, and that doesn't make any sense. So we have to walk in love. So far we have walking in faith and walking in love, okay? And then the third component of this is walking in purpose. Walking in purpose. And with this walking in purpose, I'm still visualizing Paul on that Damascus road. The Lord expects us, and I'm taking notes as God has given this, amen. The Lord expects us to have some type of change in our lives when we profess that he is Lord. When we say that he has risen from the dead and he is Lord, and it says every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Paul is on this road to Damascus, okay, Saul. And there is a change, a transition that happens. And what Jesus is saying is that if we have really experienced him, if we're really not having that wavering faith, if we're really having a relationship with God, he says then there has to be a change in our behavior, a change in the way we love, a change in our faith, a change in the way we walk. You can't have that same wavering faith without action if you've met Jesus, if you've been changed. You can't have that same spiritual faith, that relationship with God that you didn't have at first if you've been changed, because you're trying to get closer to your purpose. And a lot of people, including me, until God revealed this, feels that a purpose is why you're here. But God is saying today, on this very day, that purpose is how you changed to get to where you are going. So purpose is not just why you're here. It's how you changed to get to where you're going. That is your purpose. Your purpose is to change. God is molding us to be who he would want us to be. So that's walking in purpose. That's the first component. The second component that I see with purpose is God says that all of us were called. And in the Bible, and I'm not quoting it because I'm going by the revelation of God, he says some were called as apostles, some were called as ministers, some were called as preachers. And God said some. The reason why God said some is because not everybody accepts Jesus Christ as our Lord. I talk about atheists a lot. And the reason why I talk about them is because there is a barrier that hinders them from recognizing and realizing that God is the Alpha and the Omega. We're here because of God. We're not here because of Buddha. We're not here because of these other gods that people bow down to. We're here because of God. So walking in purpose, God said, yeah, some of you were walking. Y'all, you went to Damascus. You went with Paul. You was with Saul when he transitioned. You was there. We've all been to Damascus. But how many of us can truly say that we've changed, meaning that we've changed to serve God, meaning that we changed, I'm not going to say for the better, because some people are walking that road, but they're trying to get back to Jesus, and it's a slow process. All right? And I see people trying to get back to where they're going. For instance, if it's a lot of snow and they're in snow boots and they're trying to get back to their cars, well, that's how Jesus is describing how people, the slow process, because things are hindering people from coming back to him. It's not because they don't want to change. So when we talk about change, he says some were called to be apostles, ministers, teachers, things like that. Some were called and they answered. They answered their purpose. They went to Damascus with a mindset that I'm going to change. Those who refuse to change have not discovered their purpose yet because, first of all, their faith is wavering and it's not consistent. Second of all, it may be because of a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. And finally, under this, when walking in purpose, Jesus shows how every day of our lives count, and we're only here a few days. And the question that I would like to submit even unto myself is, what are you doing with your time that you have left? What are you doing? And I'm writing this down. What are you doing with the time that you have left? And the reason why the question is worded that way is because when we are born, we begin to die. We begin to die. And because our days are numbered and because our days are few, we have to ensure that we are in line with our purpose. And as I was saying that, God showed me a dog who was chasing his tail. He was just going in circles. And this dog who is chasing his tail will never catch his tail. He may catch his tail, but only for a second. And God is saying, if you are not walking in your purpose, if I am not walking in my purpose, if you are not walking in your purpose, then you are like unto a dog who chases his tail round and round. He catches it, and then he has to release it because it doesn't feel right. So a dog just goes around in circles and circles and circles and circles, and there is no direction. There is no direction as to where this dog is going. You're just going around in circles. So God said you have to be aligned with him, and you have to make great. That's the word God used. Amen. You have to make great of your time, which means that you have to make well of your time while you are here because our days are numbered. We don't have time to sit down and twiddle our thumbs. We have work to do in the kingdom of God. So God is talking about walking in your purpose. Then finally, the final segment of this part, and we have 11 minutes, is finally coming or reaching your destination. And as I was writing this word and as the revelation was pouring out, reaching, you have to extend. A lot of people think about extending your arm, but God is saying you have to extend your prayers. You have to extend your faith. You have to extend and reach your spiritual walk with God. You have to extend and reach your love. That means we have to go beyond the call of duty in order to get to where God wants us to be. So we have to, in coming or reaching our destiny, we have to extend. We have to exceed the expectations of the world, which says it's okay to not reach your destiny. It's okay to not love everybody. It's okay to have your own cliques. It's okay to gossip. It's okay to do this and that. God didn't say it's okay. He didn't say that. But the fact of the matter is, when you reach, you go beyond. If you extend your arm out right now, okay, if you extend it out, your arm is up high, and guess where it is lifted? Towards God. So what God is saying, amen, and we're going somewhere with this, I want you to pull your arm back, touch your chest like you're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and I want you to extend it. Right there, God is saying you give him the praises because your hand is already lifted up. So if your hand is lifted up, there's no way that your head could be bowed down. Because many of us reach our destiny because we're looking down and we're not looking up to him. That's what God is trying to say in this particular part. I'm getting happy here. God's saying, yeah, you're reaching. So if you're reaching up for things that are up, if you're uplifting, if you're uplifting in love, if you're uplifting in relationship with him, if you're uplifting in your faith, there is no need to look down, not even looking down on someone. There's no need to look down in depression. There's no need to look down in suicide. There's no need to look down on people. There's no need to gossip. He said, if you are lifting up, just like if you are, for instance, I go back to baby Jessica. I want you to look at that YouTube video when baby Jessica was stuck in the well. Nobody pressed down. Why are we going to press down? We're trying to get her from her situation and being in the hole. We're trying to pull her up. And the only way that we can reach our destiny, reach our goal, is if we come up. God's saying, come up out of your dead situation. Come up out of your hatred. Come up out of the gossip. Reach up, extend up, and look up. That's what God is saying. Reach up. Let me write that down. Reach up, extend up, and look up. That's what we're doing. Reach up, extend up, and look up. God is telling us to do that today. And then when we talk about destination, a lot of people think that it's arriving somewhere. And in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world, what the revelation is saying is that while you're on earth, are you being, or are we being, obedient to where God has called us to go to minister? And many people think that ministry is preaching the word of God. Ministry is teaching. They think that ministry is action. That's what it is, which uplifts. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to travel from place to place. All you're doing is giving the word of God through your actions. And that's why the Lord does not focus on what we do. He focuses on the intentions of our hearts. That's why he said when you pray, he said go into your secret closet. Because many times, sometimes when people pray, they're praying for man or woman to pat them on the back. And I'm sure you're saying, well, how does this, or what does this do, or how does this deal with destiny? Because your heart has to be in the right place. If you are going somewhere, and if you're ministering, it has to come from your heart. It has to come from your heart. The intentions, everything you do has to be good-willed from your heart. That is the only way you're going to reach your destiny. God is not going to take you to a church with 5,000 people if you're just there because you want everybody to know you. God is going to take you to a church with 5,000 people because you have the word of God planted and because you are willing to share it with the world. So God looks at the intention of the heart in order to get to the destiny. Many of us worry about, well, why aren't I moving? Why do I feel like this dog chasing his tail or her tail? Why do I feel like that? Because you have to examine. We have to examine our hearts. Why did I do that? Why did I say that to that person? Why did I say that to that person? Why did I go over there? Why did I go over there? Why did I write that down? Why did I look up? You have to ask yourself why. And if it's anything other than uplifting, edifying, trying to make better, your heart is not in the right place. Our hearts are not in the right place, and we're not going to reach our destiny. So coming or reaching your destiny. Then God talks about in your destiny. Some of us get in our destiny, and we want to sit because there's a lot of favor. There's a lot of favor. Write that down. There's a lot of favor in our destiny, which means that things happen that probably shouldn't happen for our own good. And God many times give us tests. He tests our spirit in order to see what we're going to do. Many of us do not know how to handle changes which elevates us up to the top. So therefore, God has to humble ourselves and bring us back down, and we have to start over again trying to find the destiny that we were given in the first place. How many of you know that God can take away a destiny? He can take away, he can take us from a place that he's given us full of milk and honey. He can take us, you know, you can transition real quick because of life circumstances. You can be up today, down tomorrow. You can be rich today, poor tomorrow. You can be poor today, rich tomorrow. But God takes us through those different things to test our spirit. What are you going to do with what you have? What are you going to do with what you don't have? Who are you going to pray to? So I have 5 minutes, and I want to wrap this up because I want to give you my information. But so God is saying walk by faith, walk in love, walk in purpose, coming or reaching your destiny. And you need to remember when you're walking in faith that faith without works is dead. It has to be consistent faith. You can't be wavering. You know, the world calls it being sometime. And God, he doesn't need any sometime Christians, baby. You have to be consistent with your faith. Spirituality, spiritual faith, that means relationships. And if you are like God and if you're walking in the image of God, you don't have time for gossip. You don't have time for complaining. You're doing the will of God. Walking in love, that deals with forgiveness, how we treat people, what we do to people. Walking in your purpose. We talked about Damascus, amen, the road to Damascus, and many people, we've all experienced the Damascus road. We've all had an encounter with God because he is our Father, but many of us have ran away from God and not accepted the calling of God, so therefore, it comes to finally coming and reaching your destiny. Many of us miss the mark. That's why God says sometimes we miss the mark of the highest calling of God, missing the mark, and some of us reach because we extend ourselves. We extend our love. We extend our faith. We extend our relationship. And so the question today, amen, is are we being consistent? Are we being consistent with the love of God? And that's what God gave me. And like I said, we're going to schedule our real person who's supposed to be on here today again. And on Saturday, be sure, which is tomorrow, be sure to tune back in with me as I have Casey Jordan, who will come and we will interview. Casey Jordan is a hip-hop artist. And like I said, I'm just happy and excited to be able to share the word of God. And I'm going to read these announcements expediently so that, because I only have 3 minutes. So first of all, be sure, and you already know what I'm going to say, to encourage, uplift your family and friends by having them log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. The fashion line is here. Fashions by Love is here. Be sure to tell all of your friends about Fashion Line by Love. All right? In addition to that, be sure to study your Bible. Select the verse that you would like to read and just meditate and concentrate on the Word of God, because God always gives us something that will help us along the way. Be sure to continue to pray for your family and friends. I'm sure that you have several family or friends who are on the list that we could pray for. Pray for those individuals who are in the hospital, the convalescent homes, those who are homeless. It's getting cold out there. If you can help somebody out, help them out. Be sure to continue to look at different events that's on my Facebook page, gospel artists, psalmists, writers, authors, educators, community leaders. You can continue to Facebook Alfreda Love. That's A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E. Alfreda Love, or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E. You can Facebook me. I would love to have you on the show. I understand that some schedules are rigid. I'm very flexible. God always give a word. Amen. In addition to that, there are some playoffs going on. I am going to stick chilly at the house today, but I pray for safety, traveling grace. I pray for all the teams who are out there, those gentlemen who are out there trying to make it to the next level of their football season. I would also like to say that the voting is actually over for the Stellar Awards, but we're getting the inbox, and I'm making connects, and I'm calling, and I'm texting people, and they're texting me back. I appreciate that, because I'll be looking at for you for some interviews there. Be sure to wrap up. It's getting cool outside. Make sure that you take care of yourselves. Make sure you're exercising. Make sure you're eating right. Just know that, like I said, on Saturday, we will have Mr. Jordan, Casey Jordan, and then we'll have Minister Kane, who will grace the platform on the 24th. Remember that Nanny is also coming on the show. Love her to death. So be sure to tune in sometime so that you can hear her as well. Once again, I want to thank God. First of all, I want to thank my family and friends and the listeners who were home today. Appreciate you so much. And I pray your strength in the Lord. If someone asks you what that smile is all about, you be sure to tell them that love lifted you up, because God is love. Also, continue to check my websites, because I will be several places speaking. Speaking the word of God, speaking about leadership, speaking about education, speaking about health. So please be sure, if I'm in your area, come by and say hi, something like that. But anyway, if someone asks you what that smile is all about, you tell them that Love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, please take care of yourself and each other. Goodbye, everybody. And be sure to join me tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you. Bye-bye.